If you're okay with not taking this too seriously, I'd like to start with another one of my favorite YouTube funny guys, Ultra Spiritual Life.
Worry is an ancient success technique whereby you prevent terrible things from happening in your future by making yourself feel terrible right now. Worry makes things better 100% of the time. So you can pave the way for a better future through negative thinking and emotional stress. I'm going to teach you how to get better at worrying. Trying something new? Just remember all the times you failed in the past. Practice catastrophizing. Just imagine the worst possible thing that could happen to you when you're doing your normal daily activities. Never trust anyone. In fact, you should become more suspicious when people treat you kindly because they're probably just trying to manipulate you to take all your money and cannibalize your body. Remember that one day the sun will burn out and all of life on Earth will be dead. Advise your doctor to write you a prescription for a medication to help you stop worrying. Then go home and start worrying about the inevitable side effects of that medication. Type conspiracy theories in on Google, and then read about them for at least an hour every day. Talk about your worries with your friends, but don't let them pull you down by discussing solutions. Remind yourself that people are constantly judging you. If you get stricken with a case of feeling peaceful, turn on the news to find out what you should be worrying about today. When you're going to bed at night, remember home invasion is a thing. Go on WebMD and read about random illnesses to determine if you have any symptoms of those illnesses. Because worry always helps, enjoy maximizing your life and taking it to the next level. Oh yeah, and remember the device that you're watching this video on is killing you with dangerous EMFs.
If I find that funny, it's because I am an excellent worrier who sometimes benefits from a bit of a reality check. I'm going to go out on a limb and claim that I'm not alone in this room, perhaps. There are other good worriers here. Rachel Reed and I talked together about this Philippians passage this week. Verses 6-7 have been a favorite of hers for a while. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Rachel and I agreed that these words are surely necessary reassurance to many more than just her and I. They're not a band-aid or a brush-off, of course, for those who struggle chronically with an anxiety disorder. There may have been some who have heard these words not with reassurance, but with judgment or shame. This is not my intention in these reflections. But worry of some kind comes to us all. I'll paraphrase a concept from a friend and call it ordinary time worry. Ordinary time is the liturgical time of the church year that's not the high seasons of Lent, Advent, etc. Most of the year is ordinary time. And much of our worry, well, it's not ordinary in the sense that it is unremarkable, but in the sense that it is familiar. Hello, worry, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Rachel keeps these words on a poster in her room, which I think is an amazing exercise. And yes, I mean exercise. You see, this passage doesn't tell us that our worries don't exist, that they're all in our minds. It tells us what action to take with them, how to exercise them. Every worry, every time it comes back, because it will, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Sometimes I think of worry as a noun, a shadowed, pulsing noun that occupies space in my head or my heart. But Paul's words kind of evict that shadow and make worry into a verb. While nouns can look pretty solid when they're in our way, verbs are moving, and so they can change. Paul says, do not worry, pray and give thanks and let God know. The things we focus our worry around are real things, but Paul helps us think about where we give our energy. The word for worry can also be translated to strive after. Worrying is putting our energy in a certain direction. And I don't know about you, but I tend to need to learn over and over again that my energy could go in much better directions than worrying. One commentator on this passage writes that, of all things, it is our anxieties that might blur our relationship with God. In fact, our anxieties may become our gods, more powerful and more determinative of who we are and what we do than the God of Jesus Christ, who calls us to leave these anxieties with the Lord. Our anxieties may become our gods. A god, a small g, is where we direct the energy of our devotion and our action. Our anxieties may come to define who we are and what we do and where we're heading. I think this connects to a quote from Eugene Peterson and his book, Subversive Spirituality. The quote is about busyness, but at least for me, I see busyness and worry often being two sides of the same coin. I worry, so I make myself busy to fix things, but then being busy just makes me more prone to worry. You don't have to raise your hand, but feel free to wink if you know that that's true for you. I'll take the knowing chuckle, that works. So Peterson writes, "Busyness is the enemy of spirituality. It is essentially laziness. It is doing the easy thing instead of the hard thing. It is filling our time with our own actions instead of paying attention to God's actions. It is taking charge." As the other quote said, our worries define us rather than our identity in Christ defining us. We fill our time with our own actions instead of paying attention to God's actions. Maybe you want to push back on this laziness accusation from Peterson, because sometimes when we've spread our energy too thin over too many worries, it's because we've told ourselves that we're doing it for the benefit of others. But all too often, this worrying for the benefit of others comes from the shoulds we've heard in life, the expectations we're struggling to live up to, a guilt of what it means to be a good Christian, a good friend, a good spouse, a good parent. When we really look at where we're putting our energy, does it demonstrate the life we want to be living? Jesus said, "Strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things, the necessities of life," he was talking about, "will be given to you as well." Is our energy reaching for the kingdom of God? I asked for our Philippians reading to start just a few words before verse 6. Chapter and verse numbers are a late addition to our biblical text, right? And this last section of this letter is a varied collection of exhortations to the church. So just before "do not worry," we heard, and the Philippian church heard, "the Lord is near." And because we can be so tempted to be more aware of the nearness of our worries than the nearness of God, Paul repeats similar sentiments a couple more times just in the short passage we heard. "The God of peace will be with you. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is the promise that grows out of, "in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." "Do not worry" is not an instruction to disengage from the things we care about. It's not magical thinking. Pray and your concerns will take care of themselves. "Do not worry" is surrender of the things we have no control over. "Do not worry" is trust that there is something much bigger than and beyond us. "Do not worry" is surrender to and trust in a God whose peace is so much deeper and wider than our efforts to plan, control, protect, or predict. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. Maybe you don't understand how it makes sense to just turn off your work phone for a day, but the peace of God surpasses that understanding. It doesn't add up that your planned menu is going to make everyone happy all of the time at your family cottage weekend. But the peace of God surpasses our understanding. You feel like you must be missing something in your school assignment or your work assignment, but the peace of God surpasses understanding. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul is using a military image here. The peace of God will stand sentry watch over your hearts and minds. The peace of God will be on duty over your thoughts and your desires. Because God's peace is on duty, there is no need for us to be anxiously scanning the horizon for new threats. Alert, sure, but anxious, no. With God's peace on the steady lookout, we can relinquish our striving, our spinning, our certainty that it is all up to us. As Rachel said to me, God has it. It's our prayers to God that call God's peace into action within us and over our lives. Our prayers, in the words of Anne Lamott, of help, thanks, wow. Supplication, help. Thanksgiving, thanks. And the wow, I think, is in letting your requests be made known to God and remembering that, oh yeah, God already knows this. And back to thanks we go. God's peace has this. God's peace doesn't erase the homework assignments or undo the arguments we've had with our kids or our parents. It doesn't make our decisions for us or make all of our mistakes disappear without consequences. But God's peace will stand watch over what comes out of our hearts and minds as we seek to respond in the way of Jesus. The Greek words for hearts and minds are flexible. They could also mean our desires and intentions and our thoughts. The things through which our energy flows, right? So will that energy flow into worrying or into seeking the way of Christ? And to situate us in that way, we follow up with verses 8 and 9 and a list of virtues on which to focus our energy. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. How might these virtues keep us in the company of the God of peace? When we are tempted to keep company with worry, busyness, control, self-preservation, and worst-case scenarios, these virtues call us to a different place, a different posture, a posture from which gratitude flows. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This whole passage invites us to a posture of gratitude and prayer and relationship with God for all times, not only when we need to counter the sometimes insidious nature of our worries. I remember learning this one evening while I was living in Chad at age 18. I was sitting around with my siblings and my cousins and my host family. We often gathered around an oil lamp after the sun had set around 6 p.m. We would sing or they would coach me through my Lele language reader. And so on a typical evening like this, I turned to my cousin Jan Wong, who was 14 years old and shared most of the work around the home with our other young cousin Giltering. And I was feeling cheerful, and I asked her, Jan Wong, qu'est-ce qu'on va faire demain? What shall we do tomorrow? And she looked at me like she wasn't sure what it was that I expected her to say, and she repeated my question. I said, yeah, it's Saturday. What shall we do tomorrow? And she thought for a bit, and she mused out loud, tomorrow, demain, demain c'est demain d'abord. Tomorrow is tomorrow first. And I realized that this young teen with very little formal education had reminded me of an important spiritual lesson. Tomorrow is tomorrow first. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own, as Jesus said in Matthew. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.